Professor, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones with
our special host. Yeah, oh, well, yeah. Look at that. I just totally messed that up, which is okay.
You fit right in.
I think it's just a miracle that we started recording, so let's just be happy with that.
Nothing like using new technology on your 600th episode, eh?
Are you sure it's the 600th episode?
Yes, and the only reason I'm sure is because Brooks is sure.
Well, here's my question. How many episodes did you and I do between 500 and this? Because we had Robert in there, and I think even Chesley did a bunch of ones. Like, I think we've I think you and I have hardly done any episodes since 500.
That could be, but, you know, I like
but to we're tell still going to take the credit.
Oh, yeah. I like well, to I like tell it. People. Well, how did you get from 500 to 600, Peyton? Oh, I have a man who does that for me. That's what I want to say. I want to be at this status now where I can say, oh, my man does that.
Well, okay. Your man does that.
You're obviously not impressed.
No.
It doesn't sound right in 2025, if we're being honest. Maybe in 1970, but today?
Man, I could have said so many things there that,
hey.
Had this not been our 600th episode, I would not have.
I'm baiting you. I'm trying. I'm really trying.
As I've been saying from season one with Pete, to the pure, all things are pure. Okay? That's what I'm saying.
You know, what's funny is I was thinking about this the other day because of Chris Langham and everything that they've been doing with Through the Word. And I think Chris Langham was like our fourth or fifth interview.
Yeah.
Because you had already missed an episode and you're like, oh, I can't do this recording. Can you do it with Chris? And it was like literally at the beginning. I should have known that, like, that was going to be a pattern throughout the entire podcast was, you know.
Hey, Rolling Stone gathers no moss.
Okay. All I can say is, Chesley, one of your interviews made it back to me from both Peyton and Peyton's nephew.
Well, they thought it was you.
They thought it was me. And what's funny is, like, I'm like, I don't remember this, but honestly, I can't put that past me. Like, it's just...
This is what I'm saying. Other people are out there talking for us, and we're getting the credit. We thought it was Pete. Chesley said something really funny. And my nephew goes, I can't believe Pete said that on the podcast.
Well, you got to tell everyone what it was.
I don't remember what it was.
Oh, I totally remember what it was.
Tell the story, Chesley, because even I remember the punchline on this.
All right. Now, this is a family show.
Yes, it's fine. Nothing's bad. Like, it's one of my friends who, I mean, she's doing some great stuff with, like, helping people that have come out of cults. Her name is Christina Rivera. She's got a crazy story. So, like, the first 7 minutes.
So you'd know.
Yeah.
That's an inside joke with Pete, but about Colts. But
yes.
You'd have to be a longtime listener to get that one.
Been a long time. Yes. Yeah.
Go on. So she's
go on. Sorry. So
she starts telling us her testimony on the episode. And this wasn't, like, too far back. I probably 3 or 4 episodes ago. So she goes on this whole, like, story about how she met Jesus while she was on a meth trip. And then she did, you know, a bunch of drugs, and, you know, Jesus still showed up and she became a Christian. And yeah, so very, very serious conversation. And of course, you know, we get to the end. And my next question was, so how was the meth?
Oh my gosh. See, retelling that story just lost us the few good listeners who were like, I thought this was going to be a serious church planning podcast.
Well, okay, listener, listen, in case your kids are in the car, kids, stay in school and don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
So now that that public service announcement is over, you know, it's funny because in the very beginning, we were at Refuge Long Beach when we started this. And by the way, guys, this is going to be our 600th episode focused on the fact we've been doing this for 600 episodes. So it is the show about the show today. But one of the things that we were really sensitive about in the beginning was we could never talk about drugs. Like, we couldn't joke about it. Like, Pete knows, like, because we're at Refuge Long Beach, and it was like we were dealing with so many addicts and so many people. And as time's gone on, you know, we've laxed a little bit, you know, I think. Like, there's been a couple times, probably times that I've said stuff. But the reality is, in the very beginning, this just reminds me of the times where in the early days, Pete and I were using, was it like Google Hangout or something? That was like the first one we used.
Yeah.
And so we'd have like these high profile guests coming on, and it didn't matter who it was. We would literally be hanging out there with like fake hats and sunglasses, you know, like you can turn on
and
the
cigars
little,
are hanging out the mouth.
There was one time I lost it because Pete had the Rastafarian guy on there. And there were just accessories with that one. Let me just say that. And I lost it because we've got these guests and they're showing up and we would never say anything about it. It was almost like a trick of the mind. Like, they would get on there and here we are hanging out. And there's like, I'm wearing this Dr. Seuss hat and sunglasses. And
Peyton's like,
we'd quick
we
turn
gotta
it
pray
off.
First. We gotta pray right with the Dr. Seuss hat on. Right?
The problem is you guys never put any of these on YouTube.
No, like, no.
That would have been phenomenal.
We probably would have
actually been popular had we done it.
Probably. Yeah.
We have often said that the pre-show is much better than the actual, like, we'll screw around. Like, that's what people don't understand is the podcast is us just being friends. Like, it's what we do. So Smack Talk is just, we haven't caught up and we do that. But the pre-show always one of us will be like, dude, we got to save this, like, hit record. We save this for the show because we'll just get on there and start screwing around. It's not like we're putting on an act or we're, you know,
I still remember one of the best episode. So this was even before Google Hangout. We were recording on a teleconference line, you know, good high quality recordings with that. And we have Philip Yancey on.
Oh yeah.
And Philip Yancey comes on and Peyton's like,
I'm late.
Yeah,
if you're,
yeah, you're late. You came in like you're on a parachute jumping. You're
like, woo-hoo! I take them off. Yeah. I do the take them off. Like, I'm a Starship Trooper on a drop ship. And I'm like, woohoo! Like one of the guys off Aliens. And
but the best was Peyton kept going, well, Phil, Philip would go, Philip, like he like kept correcting him. Yeah. It was getting more
My
and more
name
bad.
Is Philip.
And none of that mattered to Peyton at all. He's like, nope, you're Phil. The rest of this podcast, you're Phil.
Well, okay. So back in my early days, before I had my healing, I actually, like, my antisocial tendencies, if you get mad about something like that, I'm going to keep doing it. And I really, like, he's one of my favorite authors. Like, don't get me wrong. But because it kept getting him, like, first off, when we're doing the woohoo, like, I think that was the episode where I realized church planners are not like pastors. You know, because we weren't even thinking twice about, we're just being real with him. And his writing is so cool that you think, oh, he's cool. He's hung out with Martin Luther King Jr. He's hung out with Mother Teresa. This guy's going to be awesome. And he, you know, he is awesome. Like, don't get me wrong, but he's like this, you know, he's
proper.
He's proper. My name is Philip. That's important to me as an author. And I'm thinking, well, no one's out there buying Phil Yancey's books, right? Like, you know, like, oh, I bought the Phil Yancey book when I should have bought the Philip Yancey book about grace. Nobody's got that problem.
What if we did that? Hold on. What if we started using pen names like Phil Yancey? You know, and started putting out our own books. I'm wondering.
Church Plantology Rides Again by Phil Yancey.
I'm wondering, though, if we could actually, like, put a little coin in our pocket that way. I'm just thinking.
Maybe.
Hey, ChatGPT can pull off a mean Phil Yancey. That's all I'm saying. But, once he did Once he got angry, it was kind of like, all right, you're Phil. Because he got angry multiple times.
He did.
And, you know, and I wasn't, I have no ill will towards him. Now I look back and think, I should have been cool.
Right. Or you should just give them a disclaimer before you come on. Like, just expect anything. The reality was, you know, I've been listening to you guys since like 2015 when I was planting.
Yeah.
You know, so like early days. And that's what
probably know more about us than we remember about,
about yourself. That's fair. That's fair. But like, you know, I was planting, but the thing that kept me on the show for so long was the 35 minutes of just you guys jacking around and having fun. It was, I'd like, there are sometimes like, I'm like, you know, Peyton's going on his teaching moment. I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, give me more Pete.
There we go. I'm going to throw this out there to you guys. It's just a thought. The Purpose Driven Church Plant by Richard Warren. I'm throwing that out there.
Can we do Richard PJ Warren? So or ooh, Rick EJ Warren. So it's
no
like
one knows.
Peyton knows.
No. Sorry. Not PJ. I meant to say PP. Like, you know, Peter Payton.
Hey, come on.
Hyphenate.
Keep this a family show.
it's in quotation for Richard PP Warren.
I know, I didn't even mean to do it. That's the funny part about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm throwing it out there. You know, if we're wondering how do we actually monetize this podcast, there we go. After 600 episodes.
I wonder if you could get the foreword written by Rick. That would be even better.
I actually think you guys don't understand where the real money is here. The real money is when we go around all these authors and we tell them what we could do, and then we have them pay protection money every month to us so that we keep that out of Amazon.
Well,
that's the real money.
Most of those guys don't realize we still were recording the pre-show and we still have all of that.
We actually do.
That is funny. But that's great. No, I mean, what you guys did with the way you guys set up the show, I think was, as somebody that was in church planting, like everybody around you serious all the time. And you guys just, you had the corner of the market of going, hey, no, we're real. We're good. And, you know, so I appreciated it. It's really fun and an honor to be here, you know, 10 years later and hanging out with you guys. And I say in person, we're not really
cool because not everybody took it that way. Like we had Ed Stetzer, who was like, what are you two guys? Just a bunch of guys in mom's basement drinking beers doing the podcast?
Like, say that.
Like, how dare you have fun?
What's it to you, Ed? You want to join?
Yeah. It's probably upset because we told him to do it virtually instead of showing up at the studio. Yeah, but no.
That's funny.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know. What's the purpose of today's episode again? You said we're just talking about the fact that it's a 600th episode.
Yeah, Chesley's going to ask us a bunch of questions about what it's been like 600 years. What's it like doing not 600 episodes with Peyton, but, you know, whatever the number is? Because this, you know, as Pete mentioned, we had Robert Frazier.
Yeah.
And the guy who's his co-host, I never learned his name, which I feel really bad about. Those two, you know, they were sports guys. So Robert Mitchell, guy, hugely respect. And I mean, that guy's a baller. And he came on and, you know, there's not many people we'd say, hey, I mean, you're one of them, you know, where we're like, hey, yeah, take some episodes. So Chesley's done, he's kind of like our Walter Cronkite now, you know, nobody knows who that is, but he's like our interviewer. You know, he goes out and does some top-notch interviews. From a different perspective, more from like a entrepreneurial, that's kind of your flavor. And Robert Mitchell, he came on and he did his stuff. He founded his church. He came through our training, so he was definitely aligned, but he also found a network. He ran Exponential Boise. Guy's just super impressive. So we didn't
did you
do
call
all
him
the
Robert
episodes.
Mitchell. He did. That's all
oh,
right.
Did I?
I was like, you're bringing my dad into this? Like, I was like, I don't remember my dad doing the podcast. Hey,
leave my dad out of this.
Yeah.
Robert Fraser.
Bobby everybody Fraser,
else,
yes.
Everybody Bobby. Else calls him Bobby Fraser. Yeah. And I call him Robert Fraser. And he goes, or one Robert day Mitchell.
We're, yeah, or Robert Mitchell.
And then eventually it morphs to Robert Mitchum, which he was a good Western actor. I like him.
Yeah. And the Phil.
Oh, yeah, Phil, yeah. Phil. I mean, hey, listen, if it's Jesus could get people's names wrong, right? I mean, why can't I? I want to be like Jesus.
That's
fair. Your name's Pete. Your name's Robert now.
You think that's why he did it? He couldn't remember everybody's name?
No, because he knew it. He would preface it by men call you such and such. But from now on, your name is this.
I don't know. There's a part of me that says Jesus had way more of a sense of humor.
I'm so bad when I try to guess someone's name. I've been at four conferences in the last 4 weeks. And I'll say something like Gary, right? And they're like, no, it's Robert. And I'm like, well, I was close.
You know, I was like, close. So,
I try now, like, don't say it. Don't say where you know them from. Like, don't guess, because the guessing part is what gets me into a lot of embarrassment.
Oh, you're Phineas, right? No. I was close.
I met you. You were at such and such. No, I just saw you yesterday. I was in your breakout. Oh.
Well, what can you do? All right. So here's the deal. What's your most embarrassing moment on the show? Do you guys remember it? Outside of calling Philip Yancey Phil. But
I don't know that I honestly don't know that we can say, at least I don't know that I can say that I've had embarrassing moments on the show, because usually my embarrassing moments, Peyton goes, we have to cut that out. And it gets cut out. And I don't know that it was embarrassing to me. It was more like embarrassing to him.
Yeah.
That right. I said something. So I don't know that I've got anything embarrassing on the show.
You and I, yeah, true. But you and I have lived embarrassing moments that we've killed ourselves over on the podcast.
So you actually brought up one of the best ones earlier.
Oh, yeah. So good.
So I'm over at Peyton's house for, was it like Liberty's birthday or something? I don't even know why I was over at your house. And I don't know. I'm just going to say there was another person there who was good friends. And so we started talking, and I brought up, I don't even know why, but I brought up.
We were talking to Walter Martin's daughter.
No, that's not. Well, is that why no, I brought him up?
Because we had been talking to Walter Martin's daughter, and you had been, I think you had started talking to somebody after.
I might have read his book, and that's what, why I started talking about.
Yeah, which is
Dr.
about
Dr. Walter Martin, right?
Yeah, and Mormonism.
And she's like, Witness. Oh, who is he? And I go, oh, you know, he does a lot with the cults, you know, like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. And she goes, they're not a cult. I'm a Mormon. And I was like, like, I didn't know what to say. Like, or no, then that's when I said it, right? That's when I said, she goes, then you know all about the cult. Because, I don't know where to go with that.
And I'm in the next room grabbing something, because I think that the situation was you and I were on our way somewhere, and you stopped by and you're picking me up and we're going. And I went back into the back bedroom to grab something, and I'm hearing the conversation, and I hear him walk into it, like step right into it. But his response, I had to stay in the back room because I'm laughing so hard. It is
well, then, you know all about the cults. You're a Mormon.
Oh, well, you know all about it. It was an attempt to save it, which made it three times worse.
I don't know that it was an attempt to save it. I just don't think I knew what to say. Like, this was just me being me. So,
yeah. That was a good one. Well, here's a funny thing. A couple of weeks ago, Chesley and I were both at the Free Methodist Pacific Coast Japanese Conference, and we're there, and one of the breakouts is Steve Gladen.
Oh, now, no kidding!
Yeah. So
that's another. Did he remember? That's all I want to know.
No, well, get this. So Steve Gladen is also, if you guys don't know, he was Rick Warren's small group guy and really impressive dude. And
So when you think about it, just to set the tone, Rick Warren, mega church, 35,000 people a weekend. This is his small group dude.
Yeah. Like, because the small groups are double, right?
And so had, at the time, they had over 7,000 small groups going on.
Yeah. So when Church Planner Podcast first started, we were like, it was blue ocean. And we were the biggest until Ed, I don't know if you remember, after Ed came on our show, he started one. And then that outgrew ours. It's, I don't know if they're even going anymore, but I think today we're still the biggest. But what happened was people were calling, like, it was kind of a cool thing. So not just Steve, but a couple of the guys on staff there, they emailed and they were really cool. They're like, hey, we really want to get to know you guys, you know, love that you're doing this, super supportive. They're like, do you guys want to come over and just have coffee and get to know each other? So we're like, wow, we just got invited to Saddleback. Like, let's go. So and this is not when we met Rick. Like, that was a whole, we dedicated a whole episode we met Rick because he was awesome. But we get there and this is to talk about Church Planner, so it is connected. And we get in there, and they're super cool, like really nice guys. Well, Pete has a TomTom.
This is before Apple Maps and Google Maps, so you had to use you had to pay for the app, right, to have directions. I'd never been to Saddleback.
Right? Didn't it have a little device?
Well, no, this was my phone. This was my cell phone.
Oh, you're on your phone. Okay.
It was an app on the cell phone. And I didn't know where Saddleback was because I'd never been there. Like, so I had to GPS my way. But it's so big that it takes you to, like, you know, the parking lot, the main parking lot. But, you know, they're like,
the trams weren't operating that day, the Disney trams.
Well, it's because we weren't meeting on a Sunday, right? So you know, I'm like, okay, great, I'm here. And then I like driving around the place so I can find like the building that they're in, and I'm parking there. And not walking 5 miles to get to the dude's office. And I don't think anything about my TomTom app on my phone that's still going, that it thinks I haven't arrived.
That's not
at the
problem.
Place.
Having a TomTom going in the middle of a meeting is not a problem, but it was the TomTom that Pete had.
I paid the extra $2.99 to have the cougar voice, and the cow's like, hey, big boy, you got to make a U-turn, like in the middle of the meeting.
Hey, handsome. But that's not what she said.
I don't remember what she said, but I just remember it was the cougar
mode. She's in this holding mode, and we've said this before on the podcast, so hopefully you guys will think it's funny, but we're in the office, and because it's just been waiting, and waiting and waiting, and they're all asking us these conversations. Pete's got this bag, and in it is his TomTom or his phone. And the TomTom in the middle of our conversation goes, I can keep this up all day long, Tiger.
I know she said something about turning around. She might have tagged that onto it.
No, she didn't.
I'm telling you, she did. She said it was something about directions, big boy, or something like that. I mean, there was.
I remember it. But, anyways, so I see Steve Gladen a couple weeks ago.
We never got invited back. I just want to point that out. We were never invited back after that.
Well, you didn't.
I have never gotten the repeat invite on anybody that I've met ever. I got Exponential had me come out one time and they're like, yeah, not again. We're not.
I did actually get invited out to lunch after that day, but just he told me, can just you come? But no, what happened was I bump into Steve. Steve doesn't remember me. And he says, oh, you know, like he didn't remember our meeting. I think he pretended he knew who I was. I don't think he knew who I was, but then I say, you know, Steve, look, I don't expect you to remember me at all, but it was such an honor to meet you. So cool of you guys to invite us to your office. And we really love that. But I go, you know, I think you might remember what happened if I tell you the story. And so I mentioned to him and he started busting up and he goes, that was you.
You're like, no, it was Pete.
Pete Mitchell.
He's no longer with us.
We call him Robert. Some call him Bobby.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Well, when I was asked to put all these questions down, I'm like trying to think of questions that would be funny to me and about me. And then realized, no, it has. So I totally flubbed on the job, which is normal, you know? So I'm like, so here's the question. Why is Batman the best superhero?
It's a good question, Jesley.
Totally a good question.
It is because he's got money. That's all I'm saying. It's because he's rich.
Well, I would agree. Let me just say this, and I've of course in 600 episodes I've already shared my reason why Batman triumphs over every superhero, hands down, because Batman is the ultimate Boy Scout. Batman, no matter what you throw at him, he's prepared. You're not going to beat him. He's prepared. You might beat him one time, you will not beat him a second. So my favorite. Recent comic was, or even movie, they made it into an adaptation of a cartoon, was called Doom. And in Doom, Batman, what basically happens is, remember the Hall of Doom? It was like the villain's Hall of Justice. Well, or it was Legion of Doom, wasn't it? Legion of Doom. And they all of a sudden they start taking out all of the superheroes one by one. Like, it's orchestrated, it's planned, it's a flawless execution of an amazing strategy. And they're like, how's this happening? They all get together and Batman's like, it's me. Someone hacked the back computer. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I'm the only one without superpowers and, you know, all of you are too powerful. Like, so I just have a contingency plan. If any of you go off the rails, I know exactly how to take you down single-handedly. Someone hacked my system, and that's what they've done. And they're all super mad at Batman. But that's what makes Batman so cool, right? Like, he's always prepared for everything. So no matter what you throw at him, he's probably going to be prepared for it.
Ultimate, I think Batman's got some trust issues. It's as if his parents died when he was a young child right in front of him.
It just seems like it, right?
I mean, you know, I like to think of it this way. Batman gets his healing every time he punches a bad guy in the face. Every nose break is just... A little healing of Batman's heart.
I would just like to say that Batman versus Superman, there's no way Batman's taking out Superman. It's just not happening.
Has done it multiple times.
Multiple times.
Yeah, that's so why easy. You know. That's why you know those are fake stories. That's all I'm saying.
No, child's play. Child's play. But he's prepared. Like, he can't do it one-on-one. Like, he has to get help. Best takedown ever of Batman is in DK2. And you're right in the sense where the way that he actually Superman always ends up killing Batman when this happens, right, in some way, shape, or form. Batman beats him, but then you can't beat Superman for long. But Batman just like in The Dark Knight, when he's all old and crusty like me, he takes him down by setting this scene downtown. He's got everything from like this sonic gun to armor, which they ripped off for the Batman Superman movie. He's got Green Arrow hiding somewhere shooting a kryptonite, and he beats the crud out of Batman. And he goes, in this moment, all I want you to remember, Clark, is me as the one man who beat you. And then all of a sudden Batman has a heart attack. He's like 80 years old. And, it was all planned. It's all planned. He doesn't really die. He had bit some capsule that makes him seem like he's dead, and Superman scans him. He just emerges out of the grave a couple days later and starts his underground bat movement, which is how I see New Breed. But that's all you got to know about that.
Mm.
That was the best question ever. I say we end on a high note. We won't end on a high note. Top that.
That's
season.
Okay, so what is your most memorable interview quote? Do you have those? Like, do you remember like interview? You're like, oh,
Ed's. Were you guys just a couple guys kicking back beers in mom's basement? That might be one of the best. But
he didn't say it on the interview, though. He said it, I think, in the pregame.
But that's when we started. It was after that we started doing the clips of our guests insulting us. Do you remember that? It's like Brian Broderson's like. Two guys who are badly in need of surf lessons, you know, and we did this whole thing where a guest started insulting us when we play that clip.
I still remember taking the screenshot of all of our reviews, which were all 5-star, except for like 2 or 3 of them at the time. I have no idea what it is today. 2 or 3 of them were like 2-star or 1-star. And I put all these comments next to it, like failed church planner pointing at that dude. And like the other guy, I was like, he never actually launched his church plant. I'll like post that on Facebook. Cause I was just, I get a little salty, right? Like, how dare you say it? And it was always like, I thought this was going to be like hardcore where they really get into it, but they goof around for a half hour and I can't stand it.
Well, on the 600 and 500 and 400 and whatever episode, we goof around the whole time. That is our church. And we do a Star Wars, like we do Star Wars Special Edition. So we need to do an Andor season two, but I'm rewatching Andor season one first.
You haven't watched it yet?
No, it's because I'm watching it with Andrea. I'm trying to take her on the journey.
Well, just, and you had like 6.5 months of writing a book. So, I mean, he's behind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, TV, truth be told, he actually used ChatGPT to write the book. So it shouldn't have taken 6.5 months. Totally.
Well, if I did, it will certainly show. That is all I'm saying. Being a writer with the other books under my belt, I mean, ChatGPT can pull off a decent Peyton Jones, no doubt. But yeah, no, it wouldn't be the same.
I did have ChatGPT write a sales letter, and I told it to write it in the style and tone of Peyton Jones. And I gave it to Peyton afterwards, and he was like, no, this is awful, because it like had pop culture references every other line. He's like, I'm not that bad. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, yeah, you actually are. I don't think you've actually read your own stuff. Like, this is literally how you talk in
Church
your book.
Zero, like, yeah.
Church Zero and Reaching the Unreached were very much like that. And then Plantology, I was like, where are the references at?
It's like Reachology, or, sorry, not Reachology. Reaching the Unreached was less.
Yes, than, it was
like,
less.
Church Zero was metaphor upon metaphor, like piggybacking metaphors, which is never helpful. But, you know, I did edit it.
Is
recently,
it possible that that's the reason out. Why you Plantology has sold so much more?
Well, I actually still think that Church Zero, cha-ching, that's tradition. I think that book is my most widely distributed book. And it, for however, what was it like? 3 to 6 months where they forgot to turn the purchase button on, and it was free.
It was a free download.
And someone got fired at the publisher over that. Like it is the story of legend, but it literally goes back to that idea where, man, I know people don't believe me on this, but your distribution sometimes when stuff is free can go nuts, because everybody knew that book. But it didn't sell. Because for 6 months they had the purchase button turned off, so everybody got
that, and no one could actually pronounce the name of it because they're like Church Zer.
Oh.
Yeah, Church Zer versus O. Like, what's what? I don't get it.
No, yeah. I mean, it was a good book. I enjoyed it a lot, but again, everything about church planting up until you guys showed up was so serious all the time that it didn't actually do a good job of, like, they didn't do a good job of actually relating to the actual planter. And I think that's the magic sauce that you guys have had for so long. Is we aren't like, you know, regular pastors. We don't like to sit in our office all day. We do like pop culture references.
I used to, like, it was really hard for me when I started to see people wanting to go after church planters because they saw them. It was the new thing. It was like all hip. And so people were just trying to follow the market with it. And I think when we came on the scene, we were in the trenches actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, hey, for all you guys out there and gals that are in the trenches doing this, you know, we're here for you. We're not here because some denomination or network needs it to tick a box. We're here because we understand the blood, sweat, and tears you're putting in. And if nothing else, we're going to make you laugh for part of it, because you need to laugh if you're planting a church, and you need to know you're not alone, that you're not crazy, you know. And then the practitioner part of it that would kick in, that was what I think, between just being real and being practitioners. To me, looking back, if I look on the 600 episodes, I look back and think that's what I'm proud of, that it did go against the grain because it was practitioner and it was authentic. You know, wasn't, we were never fake. We when we're struggling, we talk about it, you know, we did really want people to see that, you know, cause I know how I've been in ministry for 30 something years. I know how to pull off the pastor, fear me and be in awe of me stuff. I know how to do that. I mean, I've got a preaching gift that, you know, if you have a good preaching gift, you can create a persona about yourself. It's easy to do. But even with that, I remember just thinking, I want and this is the apostolic side of me. I want the apostolic side of me wants every believer to know whatever I'm doing, you can do too, right? With the Holy Spirit and the empowering and gifting of God, you could do anything. So removing that mystique, and that was what made it work so well with Pete. When we first talked, Pete made a statement that kind of made me think, I want to do stuff with him. He goes, look, my dad was a pastor, so I have just the right amount of respect and disrespect for you from day one.
Not because of my dad. That's not,
not because of my dad. He wasn't in awe of pastors. And I just remember going, that's the guy that we need to do stuff together. Mm-hmm. Like, that's perfect. I couldn't have a guy that was like, oh, Pastor Peyton. Like, that wouldn't have worked for me, you know?
I remember, and this has nothing to do nearly as serious as what you just said, but it's one of my favorite memories of the show is when, because apparently I'm not 100% sure I agree with this, but you seem to think that when I get on something, I'll be like on it, that topic for like months on end. So I was thinking about buying a new car, right? Because I needed a four-door. And so I'm like telling you about the Charger. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to get this Charger. It's four doors. That's a family car as far as I'm concerned. It's got four doors. And like, I'm going off on this. And you just go, what kind of gas mileage does it get? Like any true sane person would ask. And I just remember looking at you through the Zoom going, who cares? And by the way, I still have that Charger to this day.
It's a nice car. Pete almost bought me one.
Yeah, you like to think that I almost bought you one.
I know.
I'm like, yeah, what was he smoking, man? Thinking that I'm going to buy him a Charger.
Yeah, no, I can't remember what it was. He said, if you do such and such, I'll buy you a Charger.
I probably did say something you like
did.
That.
You did.
But, he's like, and I did
you
it.
Wouldn't do it.
I did it. I'm still waiting for it.
I probably didn't do it. It was probably like the impossible task, which is probably why Pete said it.
That's fair.
But he almost bought me a Charger.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And now
I want you to buy me a Charger today.
He doesn't need a Charger. He's got a Cybertruck. Have you written?
How did you describe that before? You said it was like a Transformer and a GoBot had a baby or something. Like, what was it?
It was basically like RoboCop and Optimus Prime.
RoboCop, totally.
That's what it was.
Yes. Yeah. Every time I see it, I can't unsee RoboCop.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah.
Citizen. It'd be so cool if it would talk to you like that, Citizen. I would love it.
Can you change the voices like TomTom? Can you change the voices?
You can actually. It has a function on it where it's got a speaker and a microphone, and it will do a computer like, hey, what are you doing? You know,
outside of the car?
For security, yeah. For security. Of course. You can. It's like a Zoom, but it makes you sound really ominous and scary.
So, forgive me because I'm not this, but that's like Knight Rider, right? Is it Knight Rider? Is that the name of it?
Yeah, Knight Rider.
What is that? Oh my gosh, how young are you, man? Okay, in Fortnite, I bought the Knight Rider car. So that's what I roll around in now when I play Fortnite, just so you know, Pete.
Oh, you can buy the Knight Rider car?
Well, you could at one point. So I'm kit. I got the red light in the front and all.
This is how I know Pete loves
you. You don't play anymore. You, Vinny, all of them don't play anymore. I'm playing Fortnite by myself like a sad, sad old man.
That's not entirely true because I'm still signed up and I still go on and buy things.
It's true, you do.
I still go on and buy costumes.
Skins. Oh, that's so funny.
He's like, oh, there's a new Batman. I got to go buy that. And he won't play. He'll buy the stupid skin.
I literally just bought the new Batman hang glider this week.
I didn't even know there was a new hang glider.
There was. How's that feel? There was.
why didn't you tell me? Like, I would have told you.
Hurt people hurt people.
That's true. I saw Bullet Train again this week. I was like, there's a funny line in there where he goes, hurt people hurt people.
Yeah. That's the best. That is one of the best movies that I've seen in a long time.
Bullet Train. That's awesome. I'm like, I just literally read or listened to a whole conversation about how Bullet Train is probably the worst movie in the last decade.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, no, it's a great movie. It's a great movie.
I enjoyed it. So I don't know. It was because I was listening
to the twins. Come on, the twins. The twins is like the best. Part
was
of
that
it.
Review written by Phil Yancey by any, yes, exactly. any chance? Because I just feel that's you got to consider the source. And I love Phil Yancey.
Yancey. Yeah. That's so good. All right. So let's. Is there anything on your episodes that you're like, I still think this was great advice, and it was great advice then. It's still great advice today for planting a church.
Since Peyton's the one who gives most of the advice on planting a church, because I'm just color commentary, I will say this, like, for me, I appreciate the podcast if for no other reason than I feel like I'm giving my kids insight in my thinking process, because we would talk about serious things and we'd go down those rabbit holes. And over the, 600 episodes, my opinions on a lot of things have changed, like a lot of things. And I can look back on some of those conversations that we had, and I'm not even going to bring up what they were because I don't want to go down the rabbit hole again on this episode, but I go, wow. Yeah. I don't feel that way anymore. And in part of me, I kind of look at that and I'm like, with the whole cancel culture and everything that's out there, it's like, the problem with the cancel culture is what people aren't allowed to like change their thinking over time, or because they're having discussions with people arrive at new thoughts later on. Like, why are we bashing people over what they thought or said 15 years ago? What do they think or feel today? Cause things do change over time. And definitely in ministry, I would say a lot of my thinking has changed. I still remember telling my mom one time, this is great, man. I was like, I got to be careful even how I say this on the podcast now. I'll just be like, look, I'm not a real believer in the rapture. I'm like, I believe in the second coming. I just the concept of the rapture itself, I'm not like 100% on that. And man, I was like getting the gospel preached at me all over again. Like, yeah. I must not be saved because I don't believe in the rapture. And I'm like, look, it's not, I mean, I'm not saying, I'm like, look, I hope it's true. I love the concept of it. I really hope it's true. I'm just not on board with that.
Yeah.
But those are things that have changed over time because of the discussions that Peyton and I have had, primarily because of those discussions, but also a lot of our guests, like, I still think back at Don Stoner, who we had, who has a completely different take on everything. I mean, not everything, but I mean, he is 100% Team
Jesus. He's theologically conservative.
Yes, I'm not trying to say like he's got beliefs on other things. Like, one of the things that he personally believes in is he's a believer in theistic evolution, meaning, evolution by itself couldn't happen, but with God, it could happen, which I agree with. Like, I don't know how God did it. Like, God could have done it. It's not my go-to personally, but because of that conversation and being exposed to those kinds of ideas, I've been able to have conversations with people who are like 100% team evolution.
Mm.
And I'm like, look, I don't personally have a problem with theistic evolution. Here's why evolution itself doesn't make sense to me, but theistic evolution would make sense. So maybe you're right. Maybe this is how God decided. And it's like led to conversations with people. And at least in one case where I know the guy became a Christian because of having those kind of conversations, but it was because I was exposed to that idea. And like I said, it's not my go-to. Like, that's not where I run to and go, I'm on board with, theistic, but I don't have a problem with it as a concept. I don't know how God did it. It's again, it's not my go-to. I don't want to get the hate mail, right? I'm just saying it's not my go-to. And that was the other thing that was fun. We had a fake email address set up that you could send hate email to, and it didn't go anywhere. We're just like, go ahead and send it to that one, because we just didn't care what people thought, right? But anyway.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to an earlier question. The first one I didn't answer, which was most embarrassing moment. And this one did happen live on the air for me, but I just thought of it as Pete was saying that, because over the years, we've covered so many theological topics. And I can remember one day I was like, look, let me explain, you know, how the scripture lays out the return of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, the judgment of saved and unsaved, and then the second death, because I think there's a lot of confusion about that. And, you know, my master's is in theology, right? Which often shocks people, because
they listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I don't really use that, you know. But what was funny is we're on the and I'm explaining all this, and at one point I said something about, you know, Enoch. And like we were talking about Moses dying and Elijah going up in the fiery chariot. And then Pete says, what about Enoch? And I'm like, oh, well, he died. Yeah, but it doesn't say that. I'm like, no, he totally. And Pete, we're in this big debate, and I'm convinced I'm right. And, you know, and I'm telling him, no, you know, because you got it. And then he pulls out.
I still remember you saying, you go, why does he get to escape the curse?
Yeah.
Like. No, he died.
Yeah, it did not compute at all. And then Pete pulls out this verse I've never seen in my entire life, and says, Enoch, who did not taste death. And live on the air, I'm just like it's hard to, but I mean, I was just dead. And it wasn't like a big ego thing. It was just embarrassing because of how much I'm like laying down theologically why that's an impossibility. And then Pete just pulls us out, and, you know, and it's unmistakable. It's unmistakable. Like, it was undeniable. And, you know, so still to this day, I have had to give my crown as the master theologian to Pete. And he wears the crown.
Ironically,
not only is he most people's pastor and favorite, as you pointed out,
now that
he
you
is
bring
now
up that
also
story,
the theology master.
Now that you bring up that story, that is the reason why, when I was over at your house with your Mormon friend, I said something about Enoch, and she goes, oh yeah, like the whole city got taken away or something. I'm like, no, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. 'Cause apparently that's a big thing in Mormonism, is like the whole city where Enoch lived were all so good that they all got taken up. That's, now that you bring that up, that's what started that. That's
see, the reverse of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably Atlantis, right?
It probably was.
So this is kind of where I'm at, you know, on the advice stuff. I mean, back from the early days, we would advocate that disciple making was the engine of church planting. Every believer activated in their gifts, empowered by the Holy Spirit on mission. That's probably one of my oldest mantras. It is still to me the heart of it. It's what Peter points out at Pentecost with the outpouring of the Spirit, what Jesus sought to do. And with that comes the idea of teams, that what we do is we focus on our own gifts. And when a church planter gets ready to plant, they think, oh, you know, it's all down to me and my gifting. And so what has happened over the years is planters would come and listen to us, and they'd be like, teach me. And then they would come through New Breed, and they'd be like, hey, teach me. And we would deal primarily with the planner, but we always had an emphasis on teams for that reason, to unlock the gifts of others. And so I would still to this day, everything goes back to every believer unlocked in their gifts. And one of the ways that manifests is disciple making. Another way it manifests is teams. Another way that it manifests is empowerment of the Holy Spirit on everybody. So I would just go back to those kind of core things. And, you know, each one of my books has that, like each chapter of my book will either have, I mean, each one of my books will have something on the Holy Spirit, something on teams, something on disciple making. That's always been a thread that even when it doesn't seem to fit the book, I'm like, how can I make this fit the book? Because this is the heart of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I would say that's the advice that I would still stand by.
That's good. Well, I mean, you got 600 episodes. Who knows? You might have 600 more.
I mean, well, 600 years from now, 14 years from now, gosh, I'd be, my math is a little fuzzy, but I think I'd be 66.
14 years from now? Yeah.
You'd be 66. Collecting Social Security. Let's just put it like that.
And hey, while we're mentioning 66, I just got to give a shout out to one of my heroes who died this year at the age of 66. So if I live till 66 and I'm able to inspire people, I will consider that will be like one of my heroes, Mike Peters, lead singer of The Alarm. And you say, who? And I say, U2, Big Country, and The Alarm, the three biggest Celtic rock bands of the 80s. Mm. And The Alarm was fronted by Mike Peters, who went on to champion blood marrow donation, fought cancer 30 years, died a hero. That's all I'm saying. So I got to give him a shout out on 600 episode, yo, because we said 66 and that's how old he was when he went to glory and he was a believer. So pretty cool.
Cool. I'll take your word for it. I don't know what any of those bands are that you mentioned, but anyway.
Pete only listens to CC Music Factory. That's all he listens to. He has it on auto repeat. He has since our season one. I've got the power.
Dan, my wife hates getting in my car because we've got Sirius XM and I've got three channels, all of which are dance music from the 90s and early 2000s. That's it. That's all it plays in my car. My wife, on the other hand, is listening to The Message everywhere she goes. And I remember one time I said to her, because we were talking about praise music, and I'm not a fan of praise music. And I'm like, no one actually listens to that except outside of church. And she's like, I do. And I was like, oh, never mind. Sorry. Praise music's great. Praise music's great.
I just heard really good advice. The first two things that pop in your mind after you're talking to your wife, don't say those. The third one, say that one, and you'll have a happy marriage.
There we go.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
I'm still working on it.
By the way, my marriage is in shambles right now, so yeah. Maybe I need to take that as a clue.
The first thing you're thinking is going to get you a divorce. The second thing you're thinking is going to put you on the couch. The third thing, you'll have a happy marriage. You're good.
There we go. I like that, actually.
Yeah.
If only I could stop myself before I said stuff, it would be great.
Yeah, as the proverb says, a fool speaketh everything that is in his heart.
Well, there you go.
Proverbs new.
Totally. Well, how do you guys feel? 600 episodes, basically in the book.
Tired. We did tap partway through. Remember, Pete? I tapped. Pete will say, no, there's no we. You tapped. I was going into Plantology and I knew what was coming up and I stopped. And then I took a break this time for Discipology. So, but I'm back. So
you let everyone down. And then I thought it was funny that like you come back and then the very next week, I'm like, yeah, by the way, I can't make that episode. Like,
all he texted back to me was LOL. You know, like.
You know, it would be hilarious as if this ended up on the 601st episode.
It probably will.
Bruce won't do that. He'll figure it out.
Yeah. But. All I know is that, you know, like we have exhausted so many topics. Like I think the hardest thing for us is do we go back and revisit? Do we start a new series? Do we, you know, that's always the hard question, which is why it's great, Chesley, getting you on with interviews and some fresh life in there and things like that. But, you know, for me going forward, I mean, part of what I want to start doing with the podcast is fielding questions, like having people write in and start taking people's real life questions. So every once in a while, I'll go on social media and take a real question, because to me, those are always the best. And those are always where I would kind of shine in a conversation. But what we did for a number of years was just take, like, there were times I take my training, there were times I would take, you know, the most commonly asked questions that I would hear. But yeah, I think going forward, what I want to do is start grabbing people's real life questions and answering those.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, any final thoughts before we shut down today's episode?
No.
No. All right. You heard it here, folks. Nothing's going on in Pete's mind.
Oh, yeah, dude. I don't know, man. Life would be a lot easier if I would actually think before I spoke. How many times have we had to have Brooks cut stuff out of the episodes? Peyton would come back and go, like, before we had Brooks, Peyton would be like, you got to cut out that part from here to here. Like, yeah.
Eventually, Pete started going, hey, you know what? I'm going to hand the editing over to you now. So that's when I think, for me, the number of times we would start though, like usually if things like that would come out, they come out almost right out the gate. Like the number of times we'd have to restart the show. Like we can't say that.
No, but that was a lot.
Oh my gosh. Yes. The number of takes on the cutting room floor at the beginning of the show that lasts, and we're dying. Like we're laughing so hard because we're thinking you could not say that on a podcast. Oh my gosh, that is so funny. And there's never stuff we'd have to apologize to Jesus for. It's just stuff we
would have to apologize to you all for.
we might just, Pete and I might just share a dark sense of humor. But with that, yeah, you know, and I guess my final thoughts would just be, Brooks is going to cut out everything Pete just said, and B, no, I'm teasing. But really, just thank you guys for listening. I mean, without you guys, we would not be here. No, that's not true. We would be here.
Yeah, Pete, we would still touch. It no, really had honestly, nothing to do with the listener. It had everything to do with us.
For those of you that have been, you know, it's great seeing you guys at conferences. It's great seeing you guys out in the real world at Exponential, all the places we go when you guys come up. It really does mean a lot when you guys are like, hey, man, I love the podcast, or that helped me so much, or just hearing from you guys means a great deal to us. And what's funny is we're not the kind of show where the audience needs us for the entire time that we've been on here. So 600 episodes, I guarantee someone came in at 247 and was out by 356 because they're like, yeah, I got what I need. I've been with you for a couple of years now. I'm good. And so when I look back on that, I'm just proud because this show has helped multiple generations of planters. It's not just like somebody's been listening. If you've been listening to 600 episodes, it's definitely for the smack talk. Right? That's just like your morning show. And we really appreciate that, to be honest. Like, thanks for being our buds, you know, hanging out with us, goofing off with us, laughing with us, because really that was as important to us as training or giving advice was for you to feel like you had a friend and someone who understood. I know I said all that before, but just thanks for letting us be a part of your journey. It's a real honor to us. Because as far as I'm concerned, the reason Pete and I started this, and this came equally from Pete as it did from me, is you guys are the rock stars. You're the commandos of the kingdom. And we so appreciate you. You guys make sacrifices, put your lives on the line. You've answered the call to do something hard, not fun. It's often not fun. It can be fun. But more often than not, it's a lot of hard work and you're biting the bullet of fear the whole time. So just thanks for making us a part of your journey. And in heaven, we're going to have a wicked cool podcast reunion. So we'll see you.
It'll be small, though. It'll be really tiny.
Yeah, on the 1,952nd Tuesday of eternity, we'll all meet near the tree, the one that glows brightest, and we'll all hang out and we'll talk about it.
It'll just be you, me, and Chesley, because everyone else will be like, I'm not going to go.
Everybody's like, oh, no, Peyton, we've been perfected now. We've repented of that podcast since we've been glorified. So
so good. Well, that's it. That's a wrap.
Well, in that episodes. Case, this has been the Church Planner Podcast. Pete, sign us out.
And remember, if you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you got to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.